Welcome back to Inside on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. It is one of the most, or if not the most popular beverage in the world, tea. And although it is just simply three letters, the beverage history is vast and varieties are wide-ranging. The origins of tea trace back millennia and has proven to be lucrative as it's spread in popularity across the globe. And really anything with that much history has a place on a university campus. UC Davis has research and an annual gathering of academics from across the country devoted to researching tea with a historical, scientific, as well a cultural lens. Professors Catherine Burnett and Jacqueline Gervais-Haig join us to discuss the history and science of tea ahead of the Global Tea Initiative Colloquium at UC Davis taking place this Thursday, January 19th. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having us.
You know, I want to start off with, we're going to dive into the research, but when did you both fall in love with tea? What is your tea love story? Professor Burnett, I'll start with you.
It's through the teapots. So I'm an art historian and I like things and I love ceramics. And China has, and I'm a Chinese art historian, and so China has this amazing history of teapots. And teapots are so inventive in shape. And I actually really got into it when I was researching my first book on the importance of originality in 17th century culture and realized that some of the leading theorists were tied into the teapot makers. And so I became curious about why teapots suddenly shrank down and became small. And the rest is history.
Mm. Well, Professor Gervais-Haig, how about you?
Well, first, Vicky, thank you very much for having Catherine and I here today on your show today. I fell in love with tea in Taiwan. One of my dear friends took me out to my first tea garden, and it looked just like Napa Valley to me. And I asked him, why aren't we growing tea in California? And he just laughed. And so from that moment on, I have really have a passion for tea and its chemistry.
Yeah. And you have a chemistry background. So I imagine researching tea must be pretty fun.
Oh, my goodness. It's so much fun. I really enjoy it. We get to my students and I get to regularly drink tea because we are always exploring the sensory experience that we're having with the and trying to match that to the components that are actually in the cup of tea.
And Professor Burnett, I mean, you lead the Global Tea Initiative at UC Davis. What is the origin story of GTI?
Oh, it's so much fun. So, in fact, it was an accident. All of the best things in my life seem to be. And so our wonderful librarian, Axel Borg, wanted me to get together with Daryl Cordy because he's very interested in Japanese art and ceramics. And so you have to meet him. You have to be like, yeah, he's not going to be interested in me. I do China, you know. Anyway, Axel persisted, and we had a lunch. And over lunch, I happened to have brought some teapots pursuant to another conversation. And Daryl looked down, and he picks up one of the teapots, and he goes, where did these come from? He can be rather gruff. And I said, well, I brought them because blah, blah, blah. And he said, Catherine. He picks one up, and he goes, Catherine, what I don't understand is why doesn't UC Davis study tea? And I'm like, oh! That's a good question. Why doesn't UC Davis study tea? UC Davis should study tea. I have this article that I've been dying to write on why teapots went small in the 17th century. We have all these amazing people in East Asian studies. We have all these people do beverage studies on campus. Let's make it happen. And so out of that came GTI.
Who goes to these colloquiums?
Oh, well, that's great. Thank you for asking, everybody. So what's shocking, we thought that we'd start out with, you know, it would be a nice little academic thing and 50 people would show up. Well, the first time came, it was 400.
Wow.
And it's not just from our community on campus and in the local area, but also it was at that point regional. So people come literally from California, from the nation, from around the world to these events. They're quite large, and it draws academics, experts in the industry, aficionados, the general curious public, our students and scholars. If I can just do a little plug, so Thursday's event is on tea and value in our UC Davis Conference Center. It's free and open to the public. Please register online on our GTI website.
It's all day.
It's all day. Registration from around 8:30 or 9, and then we plunge right in. And with academic panels, but also at the end, an industry panel. So the leaders of the industry are there, and they make sure to be there. And it's really wonderful. Our students get to talk to them, get to talk about internship and job opportunities. It's a really remarkable experience, I have to say.
Professor Gervais-Haig, I would imagine, or I guess when you started your background in chemistry, did you think it would evolve to going to colloquiums about tea?
Never. I even tell my students, I said, if I would have known then what I know now, I would have definitely, pursued food science at a very early stage in my career. I just like to say, I think Daryl did plant the seed, but Catherine has really cultivated the whole tea research culture on campus. And the fact that we've had 8 of these has really cemented the research efforts and brought the world, like the global tea industry, to UC Davis and has really facilitated our research.
Well, the wonderful thing about it is just you're constantly learning about tea. What has surprised you most during these 8 years of research and annual gatherings?
I think one of the things that has surprised me the most, first of all, I really didn't appreciate how the global business model of tea. What has really come to light for me is that the sustainability and how much the tea enterprise really feeds into issues of sustainability in agriculture, and how that impacts actually the industry here in the United States. And I think it's a really important area that can engage students from all different kinds of backgrounds into something of great interest to them.
Yeah, so you started with an idea, and now it has evolved and grown by leaps and bounds. What has surprised you most during this time?
Just how wonderful it is, actually. I mean, the friendships that you develop, the interdisciplinarity and the engagement of the research and the engagements with the people. It's just this amazing thing that, yeah, I'm an art historian, which by definition is a very interdisciplinary kind of thing to do. But what I can learn from Jackie and my colleagues in science really and the industry affects how I think and how I teach and how I do my research. So it's one of the surprising and wonderful things is how interconnected the science and the culture and the industry really are. My seminar this quarter is on the spread of tea culture from China into Southeast Asia. And we're looking at global trade and issues of economics and how things get there and when and how you know. And all these things are just so incredibly fascinating. I wish that we could do these colloquia or these events more often in the year because they're just so fascinating.
Okay, so what makes tea tea?
What makes tea? Well, what I focus on is what we call true tea. And true tea comes from a plant called Camellia sinensis. Camellia is a type of plant, but sinensis is actually a variety from China. That's what the sinensis part is in it. And then within that class, there can be many different types of varieties. Some come from more the Assam region of India, which are called Assamica varieties. And so tea comes from the leaves of these plants. So you extract the leaves of the plants to get your cup of tea.
Can you grow this plant in California?
Yes. The plant grows very well in many parts of the United States. It was demonstrated in the 1960s that tea could be grown very well here in California by researchers at UC Davis, Carl Ingridson. But years before that, 70 years before that, the USDA had actually invested in research in the southern states, and Charles Shepard was the first to demonstrate that very high-quality teas could be grown in the southern states, for example, South Carolina. And today we have growers throughout the United States going up to Washington, Oregon, Mississippi, Louisiana, Georgia, still the southern states and here in California as well.
What I found interesting was that, you know, how tea was discovered and obviously millennia ago, but that it didn't necessarily start as a beverage, right, Professor Burnett? It was actually edible.
Right, right. So as far as we know, in China is credited for the first place to produce tea as an edible product. And it went as far as the records show, it went from some kind of a beverage and then into a medicine and then into a soup and then into the beverage that we think of today. But, you know, there are archaeological records that show that tea was being drunk all the way up in like Shandong, like the Boston of China. And it was even in the 5th to 3rd century BCE. So whether it was produced there or not, one suspects it would have been. But people were drinking it there that early, presumably as a beverage. So as far as we know with the records, it starts as a healthful medicine. And then people like it enough to make it into a thing for soup. And then from that, they like it enough to make it into a beverage.
Do you know what people would use it in terms of its health properties early on? Because, well, it seems like they knew it from the start that it was more than just tasty.
Right.
Yeah, I think initially there are reports of it having a calming effect. Of course, it was used, hot water was being used back in a time where water might not have been so pure. And so that also, the fact that you were boiling the water in order to make the tea was deemed to be healthier because, of course, you'd be killing any microbes that might be in the water.
When I think of tea, obviously there's so many different varieties from oolong to green tea, but there's black tea, which has caffeine. How does tea differ from coffee?
Well, so actually, all tea, whether it's black tea or green tea or oolong tea, it all comes from the same plant. So one plant can make all of those different types of tea. What determines the type of tea is the way that the tea leaf is processed. Okay, and so in tea, it's a leaf. We're actually processing the leaf, and we oxidize it to different stages to give either white tea or green tea, and black is fully oxidized tea. Coffee comes from the bean. It's a fruit. It actually comes from the fruit of the plant, which is a very different chemical composition. And then that bean then is roasted in different ways to give you your different types of coffees. Mm.
Is the caffeine different if you have caffeinated tea versus coffee? Is the feeling the same?
Well, coffee has about 100 milligrams of caffeine per cup. It depends on how the tea is brewed as to how much caffeine it actually ends up in the cup. But there, in tea, there is another component called theanine that actually interacts with the caffeine. They work together to give you a stimulated yet calm effect, whereas tea does not have theanine.
I know that we also know so little about...
I'm sorry, it's coffee doesn't have theanine.
Coffee. Yeah. I know that there's still so much more to learn about tea, but what do we know about the health benefits of drinking tea?
A lot. So we know studies indicate... I'm going to emphasize the indicate because we always have to hedge here with scientific information. But studies indicate that tea can be beneficial towards as an anti-carcinogenic. It can help with diabetes. It can lower maybe even cholesterol. It can affect the gut health. Our colleague Yvonne Wan in the med school in pathology has done a serious work on gut health with tea. It can lower blood pressure. It can lower glucose levels. Jackie,
and
chime
then of course, just the fact that you're enjoying a cup of tea, you know, that has a lot to do with your mental well-being. So you know, those studies are a little bit harder to prove, but certainly there are numerous studies indicating the attributes of the well-being, sense of well-being we get from tea.
Finally, I'm going to ask you both this. For someone who wants to dip their toe into tea but feels overwhelmed because there's just so many to choose from, what advice do you have?
I like to say, try it. Mm-hmm. Try different ones. And I would point folks towards whole leaf teas and just to try them and follow the directions on the package. One thing you want to worry about is overbrewing the tea. Usually doesn't take too long, because if you overbrew it, it might end up too bitter or something, because the longer you extract the tea, the more chemical components that go into the cup. But I would just encourage folks to experiment, see what they like, because it really is a personal preference.
Yeah. And I would just add to everything that Jackie just said is also, besides the brewing, also watch for the water temperature. Because if you scald the leaves and burn them, there's no way, even if you have a great leaf in your cup, it's not going to taste good. So green leaf, green teas are going to be maybe 170 plus or minus degrees for heat, and black teas go up to 190 to 205. But you really don't want to, you really need to pay attention to the water temperature. But again, try. You know, why don't you get three different kinds and taste them and see what you like? And what's like wine, sometimes you want a red wine, sometimes you want a white wine, sometimes you want a sweet one, and so on. So, you know, try it and just enjoy yourself.
And try it with friends.
Yes.
It's really fun to enjoy with others.
Yeah. It definitely is a culture and community surrounding tea, which is why there is a colloquium and event at UC Davis on Thursday. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you so much.
And that is Professors Jacqueline Gervais-Haig and Catherine Burnett. We do have more information on the Global Tea Initiative colloquium at UC Davis on Thursday. That is it for Insight today. You can learn more about our guests at capradio.org/insight. You can also subscribe to the Insight podcast. I'm Vicki Gonzalez. Have a great day. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.